It off now? You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
And I am Mama Mac, and along with me is the famous Dr. Angel Falzone. You never know what I'm going to say, do you?
I really don't.
You kind of look, give me that look like, what are you going to say today? I'm just going to say you're famous, and you are, and you're doing all kinds of great things and with your career. And you have counselors that work with you, and some of them have submitted some of these questions tonight, and some have come from other sources. But it's pretty cool to hear from our audience, isn't it?
It's always great to hear from our audience. I love getting the nitty-gritty questions of life.
Right. I mean, because that's what this show is all about. What is it about, by the way?
This show is about hitting those home runs in life. It's learning to live life well, not just exist, not just kind of get through, but do it well.
Oh, yes.
Feel good about it.
Yeah, and there's so many times that we just barely get through life, right? I mean, we have this issue, that issue, and we get bogged down, we get depressed, we get discouraged, we get defeated.
Yeah, we can get overwhelmed.
We can
quite
get overwhelmed.
Quickly.
All of that. And so it really helps to have a source like this show and other shows that can help us feel better and get some answers.
Absolutely. And it's not just a source, it's a source of tools that you can use. Because you know, we all have friends and family, and we can, you know, confide in them when we're going through difficult time. But sometimes they don't know tools to help us get through.
Sure.
They're trying to figure it out, too. And so it's great to, have people to talk to kind of express what's going on and have support. But it's also great to have real tools that real people can use.
Right. And that's what we do right here.
Into
our fourth year on the air, 6 o'clock on Thursday nights. Every single week, and excited to be here. So we're all about hitting the home runs in life. That's why the name Go Yard, and that's why our intro with the baseball. And by the way, the Cubs are playing the Washington Nationals tonight.
Oh,
game 5, and very important game. And go Cubbies! And some of our listeners may be Nationals fans. They're great too, though. They really are. But baseball, good baseball, good metaphor for what we do here on Go Yard, don't you think?
I absolutely believe so because, first of all, it's a cultural thing. Baseball is kind of what defines some of our culture, and it's an important thing. But, often we go up to bat and we are striking out, and to realize that you're not going to hit a home run every time we're dealing with something. It's just you're not even going to get a base hit every time. And so learning to kind of think for the best and try to set yourself up. But it's okay to strike out. It's okay to bunt sometimes, depending on where you're
at. Exactly. And so we continually try to provide topics that help people in their daily lives. And that's what we're all about.
And we haven't run out of topics yet.
No, we haven't. And now going on 4 years. We're in our fourth year. Okay, so for somebody that is new to this show, where can they go find some of these shows? Would you tell them about that?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.goyard2014.org. Wow, on a Thursday night,
you got it right.
I did it.
Yes, you got it right on the first try.
I know. I usually botch something up.
That's right. And I'm kidding. But you go to the homepage and you can hit that great big microphone and it'll open the page to all the old shows.
And every show is there chronicled. It's labeled. It's titled. So you'll kind of get a gist what that show is about.
Right.
So when we aired it, and you might not have heard it, or you just may not have been where you were in the moment.
Right.
And so now you might be there, and there's a whole collection of amazing tools.
There are tons of them. And we have a few question and answer shows on there, too, because we do these every once in a while.
We do. We try to do about once a quarter. It doesn't always work that way.
Depends on if we're in a series or whatever.
Depends on what's happening.
So the value of a show like this is these are real questions from real people. These are not things that we've made up. Not things that, well, let's discuss this topic, so let's form it into a question. It's not like that. These are real people that
real questions, real life.
Out these questions. Okay. So our whole goal here is to give some constructive help and to, maybe provide some answers, tools, whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Let's get right into it because we have 10 of these questions tonight. And usually it takes a moment to discuss each one because they're usually very intricate. They have a lot of little parts, moving parts, don't you think?
They do. And I will tell you, as I was putting this collection of questions, I did edit some of them down because they were pretty
long.
And that's okay. It's okay. Because sometimes it takes a little bit to kind of explain what's going on.
Right. And if some of these questions kind of inspire you to say, I wish I had written a question, you can do that anytime. Send it in email form because texting is probably not big enough for everything that you want to say. GoYard2014@gmail.com. All right, let's do it. Number one, I have a coworker who does not like me, this person says. Now, that happens, doesn't it?
It sure does.
As other people have told me about the negative comments that this person has made behind my back. The coworker does not know that others have informed me of these comments and statements. As far as I'm aware, I have not personally done anything to hurt or offend this coworker. I still want to have a positive working relationship with this person, but also feel uneasy knowing that they have negative feelings about me. In this situation, is it better or best to confront the coworker regarding my knowledge of the negative comments, or should I continue to do my best to work with this person without addressing the issue? I like this question. This is real life stuff.
Well, and you know what? And this question can probably pertain to a whole lot of people. You know, working relationships can be very challenging.
Family relationships or any kind of relationship.
Absolutely.
But in particular,
but
in the workplace.
The office. Because you're wanting to present professionally and we're trying to put, our best foot forward. And we're working with a whole lot of people that kind of just all were hired in and different personalities and styles of working and styles of thinking. And it can be a blend.
Yes. It is a blend, yeah. And it can be difficult sometimes when somebody doesn't like you or somebody perhaps is jealous of, your work performance or something.
Oh, there's a lot of things that can trigger conflict in the work environment. And so, I think this is a great question. What I also think about it is it can definitely, I know this kind of back talking happens in a lot of offices, the back gossip, did you hear... Don't tell anybody, and they always tell.
That's the thing.
Because people can't help it.
Right. Right.
And then it usually gets back to the person. And then it causes these negative feelings like this person is experiencing. But I am a proponent of confronting a situation.
Okay.
Always. And especially when you're feeling negative about it. And I'm not saying confronting them in a way that is harsh or confronting the situation in a way that's going to put them down, but just kind of going open and saying, I feel like something's up. I'm feeling like maybe I did something to offend you. Maybe I can feel like you're upset with me.
Okay, let me play the devil's advocate. So the person says to you, why would you think that?
Well, and you may have, some people have, come to me and,
you would advise the person to say some people have said.
Maybe that I wouldn't say the who. Because, okay. You know, we don't want to keep
say
the drama.
Names. You cannot, yeah.
No, you never out that. But I might always say, well, I've heard some comments around the office, or I've just noticed you're more distant with me, or I just feel like something's off and I don't want there to be. So, you know, can we talk?
Have you ever done that?
Oh, yes.
You have?
Absolutely.
So you know of what you speak.
I do. And, you know, I'm definitely a person who I don't like when I feel that conflict. So right. I need to get it somehow resolved. And we go humbly into that and give them the opportunity to be like.
That's huge right there. It's the attitude with which you would express.
Right. So if you walk into this, here. You know, person's office, well, I heard you've been talking smack behind my back and we need to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. But if you come in and like, you know, just feel like something's not right. I want it to be right. So can we talk?
Right. Have I hurt you in some way?
Right. And come in humbly and give them opportunity to kind of share what's, and maybe it's not you, maybe.
Okay. But what if, how would you handle this if the person says, yeah, I just don't like you and I don't, you know, and I'm whatever. What if they come right back at you like that? How do you respond to something like that?
I would probably respond, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Right.
But how can we have a positive working relationship? You
right.
mean we don't have to be besties, BFFs, and hang out, but how can we
So you wouldn't
make this
recommend that this person tries to defend themselves and build a case for...
We'll just put someone on the defensive. You'll probably
right.
make the conflict worse.
Right.
The back talk gets bigger, and now they'll try and, you know, and
oh,
it causes
she
more...
she said this, and yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when I have a situation like this, it's always best to confront it first, because if you just let it go, it gets bigger. Your feelings get
right.
built bigger, and then you'll start not wanting to come to work or not feeling comfortable.
Well, and for the person who feels they're being talked about and like this situation, then it's hard to know who to trust and,
right.
and you isolate, right?
Well, or there's this like silent team taking,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
their team versus my team.
Oh, and that's never good.
Productivity and work environment is stressful enough. You can't
right.
add in that drama if we can help it. Now, some people you just can't resolve stuff with. But
right.
at least you know that, you know what, I took the big step and I went to try and make it right. If they don't let you make it right, they don't let you make it right. You can't help that, and you're just going to have to kind of learn.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, some people are just not open to
right.
that.
Yeah.
And so
don't.
Then you just kind of figure out how I navigate this working relationship
right.
the best we can.
Right.
But if you don't put words to it, you don't have the opportunity for resolution either.
Okay. So we got to do our very best.
Has this ever happened to you?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, in the situation as a pastor, I've had people, you know, with that kind of stuff, you know, that I've talked to people. But in a work environment in real estate, not really. Because, you know, you're in an office, you're in and out.
Right.
You're not there every day. I think this happens more in a situation where people are together almost daily.
And a lot of time together and a lot of time with
yeah.
a lot of personalities.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some people just have stronger personalities. I mean, I know I have a strong personality and, you know, and sometimes it, you know, makes people feel, you know, threatened or, you know, when they're not as vivacious or as forward. And so it can cause conflict.
I like the word you used, humbly, because when you come like really wanting to straighten
yes.
it out instead of being confrontational, like, why'd you say that behind my back?
Absolutely.
You know,
and
that's not going to work. You know,
yeah, humility opens the door for conversation.
Absolutely. Let's go to question two. We got a lot to get cover. My 20-year-old son refuses to get a job. Oh, that happens in this day and age.
Yes,
now
it does.
He's now in school full time, which is good. However, he refuses to get a part time job to pay for his auto insurance, phone bill, and miscellaneous items. I am a single mom, cannot get him to start taking responsibility. I have stopped paying his insurance and phone bill, so now his insurance has lapsed, and his girlfriend pays his phone bill. He, golly, he used to be so motivated and an overachiever and an avid baseball player who was being scouted out. After he graduated high school, he lost his motivation, gave up on baseball, refused to go to college, and now I am at my wit's end with him. Everyone tells me to put him out, but as a mother, I cannot do this to my child. I feel stuck, and she signed it, Frustrated Mama.
Whew, transitional
Ooh,
adult.
You know this is right on for the day and age we live in now.
Transitional adults. Very
that,
challenging.
Remember the movie, and I never saw it, but I remember the title.
Failure to watch.
Right? I'm going to probably watch that on Netflix after this question. Failure to launch, because so often, I mean, what do mama birds do? they push their babies out of the nest.
There you go.
Right?
Go fly, little birdie.
Yeah, but does that apply to this situation, doctor?
Okay, well, what do you think?
Ah, she's putting it back on me. This is a tough one, and I hear this a lot with people that their kids are refusing to take on responsibility. Somehow they have to be made to do that.
Absolutely.
Because if they don't, they'll stay with you and they'll be 35 or 45.
Correct. We don't want to enable them to be helpless. We can't, you know, help foster helplessness. But I don't agree that the mother should necessarily just throw the child out.
Right.
Either.
I don't either. No.
And there is a middle, I think.
But it's interesting. Now he's found somebody else to pay his bills, his girlfriend.
Yeah. He just found someone to kind of make a replacement. But how long? You think she's going to carry that one out?
No, she won't want to do that indefinitely, right? Mm-hmm. And if she sees this kid still living at home with mama and still being fed and housed under mama's roof, yeah, that probably won't last forever.
Yeah, I can't imagine that being super attractive.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so I would suggest that, you know, you're starting with really good boundaries. He needs to pay his own stuff, his own insurance, his phone, his own personal items. I wouldn't be buying his shampoo, his toothpaste. Like, those are things... He's an adult. He should be taking care of them for himself. You know, it's okay to still give him his roof. He's in school. It's okay to kind of, you know, give him food, but it wouldn't be the specialty foods. It wouldn't be the extras. It would just be, you know, what we need to have. And hold those boundaries tight. Eventually, that pain of not having money to go bowling with the friends or not able to do the things he wants to.
Oh, you mean you would say to the mama if he wants $50 to go out for the weekend and take his girlfriend out, you would say no?
Absolutely no. I wouldn't be buying him clothes or shoes. Mm-hmm. And those are the things he needs to learn to take care of, and he's either going to learn to do without them or he may find some motivation to go get them.
Why do you think he's not even getting a part-time job?
Well, if someone else is going to pay the bill.
Because he doesn't have to, right?
Right. You know.
Right. That's what I was thinking. He doesn't have to.
Right. Pain brings change.
Right.
So he's not feeling enough of that pain to want to make that change.
That's one of the Dr. Angel quotes. Pain brings change. I remember you saying that different times on one of these shows or something.
And it works.
It's
I use this with my own kids. You know, I had a child who did not do well in his first year of college, and now he's paying his second year of college if he wants a college degree.
Well, that is huge.
And he's got straight A's. Go figure.
And last year, he didn't. He just played.
He learned a lot about how to play pool.
Oh, well, he's a good pool player.
He's a good pool player on my dollar, but now if he wants to get ahead, because he got to get a job and got to see what it's like.
So did you make this deal with him before he went to college, that if you don't succeed this year, if you somehow manage to get bad grades, you're not coming back? Did you do that?
Well, I told him you have to maintain a 3.0 for me to be paying for your college.
Oh, 3.0, that's good. Because you know the kid's very smart.
He is smart, and I work really hard for my money, and I don't want to. I want a good investment in my money with my son, and I want him to value education. And sometimes we learn to value it when we're out putting our own effort and energy into it.
So he came out of college, told you he did not do well. You saw the grades. You said, okay, that's it, done, and you stuck by your guns. See, this, I believe, is what happens to a lot of parental problems, is that they give in to the whining and the crying and the fussing that the kid does. Oh, I'll do better, I promise. Just give me another chance.
Yeah, absolutely, no. And, you know, with him, you know, there is a way that he may be able to earn help for school. But now it'll come in the form of after semesters. So after a year of making him pay, then maybe when he gets the report card and he's maintaining a 3.0, I'll help pay for half of his tuition.
Oh, okay. So you're not
some
totally done.
So
done.
It wasn't like I was done off, but he's going to have to show me it's important.
Okay. So, but he did go get a job, and he did enroll in college someplace else, and is making straight A's.
He is, and he's having to pay his own insurance, his own phone, his own clothes, his own hygiene products.
Frustrated mama, I think that knowing Dr. Angel's own personal situation with one of her sons would be a good way to handle this.
I agree. I think you provide, you know, nothing, you know, super comfortable, but and eventually he'll either want comfort or... He'll learn to deal without, but it's a life. You can't rescue him, or you'll be doing it forever.
So there has to be some putting your foot down and boundaries here.
Absolutely.
I'll do this, but I won't do that. You have to do this for me to do that.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
It's negotiation,
that's it.
And he's an adult.
Negotiation. Well, yeah. They're after they're 18, they're an adult. Yes. Okay, number 3, I need help with my 3-year-old little boy. specifically, boy, we got to get going, on when should I give in to him to avoid a fight, and when should I stick to my guts? My guns. Three-year-old little boy. I'm experiencing a 20-minute power struggle in the mornings over what I pack in his lunchbox. He will take things out and scream and cry to get his way. How do you raise a strong-willed little boy who wants everything to go his way? I am feeling frustrated and exhausted, and I agree that she probably is. Well, and three-year-olds are harder than two-year-olds, in my opinion. That's just my grandmother opinion. Go ahead.
I agree with you. And, you know, giving in to him to avoid a fight should not happen.
No. It should not happen ever.
So when should you do it? We don't. Now, we may make some negotiations, and maybe at three, you know, three's all about power struggles. That's
right.
The whole thing about those early toddler years. And so controlled choices is one of the things I would recommend.
Controlled choices. We've talked about that before. Tell us what those are.
And so you pre-plan the things that you will purchase for the lunchbox. And then maybe his controlled choice will be, do you want to take the pudding cup in your lunch today, or do you want the crackers in your lunch today? And so he's feeling like he has some say, but you don't get the power and control. And stick to it.
Right.
Stick to itness is very important, because he will have tantrums. It will slow down. But the more they know you're not giving in, the more those will start decreasing over time. And it's an important concept you're setting up for the rest of your parenting, because if you give in now, this problem at 12, 13, 16, 17,
it's horrible.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. They will run your house by the time they're 10.
So controlled choices, don't give in. Don't say, okay, today I'm just going to let you do what you want to do, because that's just going to make problems for tomorrow.
I'm tired. And we talk about it, and we work about having a consequence in the moment. If there's a tantrum, well, then you're not going to get your treat in your lunch.
Right.
Or what, you know, use some type of leverage.
Yeah,
there's
got
to
be.
But you ultimately keep your own power, and you can't give it away to a three-year-old.
You cannot give it away. Number four, before we get to the break, I made a mistake at work, and it will cost my company a large fine with the state. I am afraid my boss is going to ream me out when I tell him I'm a good employee, and it is out of character for me to miss a deadline. My job has been putting more and more responsibilities on me, and I am feeling burned out and buried under it. I cannot keep up. How do I approach my boss over this mistake?
What do you think?
Ooh, this is a serious one, you know, because you got to do as you always advocate, tell the truth.
Absolutely.
And we both do that on this show. We talk about telling the truth, confronting the issue. Don't bury it. It will only get worse. Mm-hmm. And you can't lie about it and blame somebody else either.
You have to take responsibility.
You have to take responsibility. You have to.
And the sooner you approach it, the better.
Right. Humbly.
Humbly.
There we go. That
very
word
humbly. You know, and you just have to sit down and be honest and say, you know, I missed this deadline. Not even sure how I did it, but it's my fault, you know, and take that responsibility. And, you know, and then maybe it's time we need to look at some of these responsibilities, and maybe we can have help to track some of these, you know, due dates that could lead to, you know, fines, maybe having a way to get some help with that. Because
how about the employee saying to the boss, I think I do need some guardrails here, or some help here.
And maybe we need
staying
to
on track.
And maybe that's what you're asking for in that moment. I'm realizing my plate is, I'm juggling too much, and I need a little help here. You know, is there some kind of remedy we can have for this?
Right.
But take responsibility. Approach your boss, you know, and set an appointment for this conversation. So don't catch your boss on the fly.
Right.
This is not the conversation that, you know, you're seeing them. Oh, they just got back to their office, but they're getting ready to go on a phone conference, and they don't have time to really have this conversation. Like, this is one, like, hey, I need to talk to you. Can we get like 20 minutes sometime today and kind of
good talk? Idea.
And then go in and, okay, I made a mistake. This is what happened. This is what, you know, the outcome is going to be. And then how do we go forward?
Yeah. And if the boss says, okay, then I'm going to fire you.
And it always can happen. I mean, Florida's not well still in a state, and jobs can dismiss us any time. But ultimately, you have character to preserve.
Right.
And that honesty and integrity goes a long way.
Honesty and integrity are the key here. We got to go to a break, and we're coming right back with some more absolutely fantastic questions. Be right back.
Happiness is you, because I'm happy. Babylon, Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
Love it.
That is the best day of my life song.
Oh, that's cool. Welcome back to Go Yard. I'm Mama Mac, along with Dr. Angel Falzoni, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. That's why she is the expert here. And we have this show weekly. And this show tonight is a question and answer show. These questions have come in from our listeners. If you'd like to throw one in the pot for another show, just email us, goyard2014@gmail.com, and tell us your situation, and we will get yours on the next show, if at all possible, when we have another question and answer show. The show is all about real life and helping you navigate it, hitting those home runs in life. So these are real questions from real listeners. Question number five, Dr. Angel. I just found out my teenage son has been taking steroids. He is very into sports, works out all the time. I've noticed over the past few months that he has been very short-tempered and angry a lot. Last week, he punched out his brother for walking in his room without permission. He does not know that I know. Should I approach this with him? And if so, how do I do it?
Absolutely.
Is that the answer? Absolutely.
Absolutely. This needs to be approached. However, in a calculated way, steroids has a way of changing mood and changing behavior and increasing aggression. So if you are, you know, have a co-parent in this, this may be a good time. This is one of those conversations we want to have, not when emotions are heightened, not when a lot's going on. We want to have a planned conversation.
Yeah.
And we don't want to approach it in an attacking way. We want to approach it in an open way. And, you know, and starting with, I've noticed behavior changes. Mm-hmm. I've noticed you're frustrated a lot. I noticed, you know, and let's give them an opportunity to come clean.
Right.
And if not, I also noticed that you're using. And you know, and how can I help you? How can we get help? Because this is changing you. And when I miss the person you were.
Yeah, that's good. I miss the person you were. I want to see that person again.
You know, and it's really important taking that heart of a topic and thinking about how you want to really approach that and sharing it from a heart perspective instead of, oh, my gosh, I caught you perspective and flipping out. Like,
but, you know, Dr. Calm. Angel, so many parents of teens do the second option there. And they're so scared. I think a lot of times it's in fear that their child will become a hardcore addict. And so they overreact and they handle it wrong. I know that you know this.
They do. And they come at it with, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. And, oh, my gosh, you're going
to
ruin your life.
Me?
And, oh, my, yes. Stop. Process it for a minute. And if you don't have someone you're co-parenting with, bring, you know, a close family friend or a family relative that this, you know, your child respects will help, you know, can help assist you through this process.
Well, when a parent overreacts, they usually make it about themselves.
It is.
I don't want our neighbors to know. I don't want your grandmother to know. I don't want this person to know. I can't believe you're doing this. What is wrong with you? And it's berating. It's that kind of approach, don't you think?
And that will get you a lot of anger.
Yeah. And a defensiveness, won't it?
Very defensive, very anger. You know, a lot of anger, a lot of defensiveness. And it really won't get you anywhere. So you need to be calm in this entire conversation. So if you're feeling very emotional and frustrated, and you should. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Work that out. before you have this conversation.
That short temper and anger, bursts of anger, are usually signs of steroids.
Absolutely. And you kind of look for the, you know, times in the day. Is there a time in the day that you're seeing him, you know, more calm or, you know, less, you know, frustrated or less short buttoned? Because that's the time you want to kind of, or maybe it's a, go. Let's go out to eat and let's have this conversation where we can sit down and talk about it and, and make it a priority, but make sure you're calm the entire time.
Not easy for some parents when they're their reaction is fear.
It is, and it is fear. And as parents, we want the best for our kids. But at the end of the day, those reactions don't get us results. They just get more chaos.
Right.
And so we don't want to grow this bigger. We want to try and get help.
Yeah.
And the first thing we need to do is open that up in a very calm and open way. And let's talk what's going on. How can I help you? Like, it happened for a reason. How did this happen? And how do we get through this?
Stay calm. Communicate. Mm-hmm. Ask questions.
But very open-ended questions. So don't come in on that defensive, oh, I know you're doing this. And come in and just start with what you've noticed different. You know, I miss the son who came home and gave me the hugs. Or we could talk about, you know, his math class or whatever it is.
Right, sure.
Bring that in.
That's good. Good advice. That's why you're Dr. Falzone, Dr. Angel. All right, number six. I have a friend who always have had to have all the attention on herself. Okay, when I talk to her about things going on in my life, she speaks over me to tell me how she has it so much worse. When we go out, she's loud and will do things that I find embarrassing to get attention. Last time we went out to dinner, she caused a scene with the water, yelling and screaming. Oh, the waiter. Not the water. Yelling and screaming because a mistake was made with her meals. She will interrupt conversations at other tables to tell them her story. Oh, my gosh. We have been friends for a long time, but I do not enjoy being around her anymore. I do want to talk to her about, or should I talk to her about her feelings? I think there was a typo there. Yeah.
What do you think? I feel like I've kind of monopolized some of these,
no,
so I don't want to.
No, doctor, you're the expert. I have had this happen.
Okay.
I have had this happen many years ago, and a person, a friend, so often was overly laughing way too loud for the given situation, overreacting to a joke, and like, you know, in a restaurant. I mean, you know, just trying to get attention on herself.
Mm.
I've been at this table, and this is not a fun place to be for the friend of somebody like this. And when you do bring it up to them, they say they don't notice it. So I would say it might have something to do with narcissism or something like that. I don't know. I'm not the expert in that. So let's hear your opinion, Dr. Angel.
Well, people do this for a lot of reasons. Maybe they're just feeling insecure about themselves.
Right.
Maybe they have some unmet need. But my question, first of all, has this friend always been like this, or is this something new? And if this is a friend and you value the relationship, you need to share how you're feeling. Like, it's important. Like, don't keep a fake relationship just for the sake of having a friend.
Right.
You know, if this friendship isn't having that balance or is really off balance and it's causing you to feel, you know, stress or distress or, you know, upset and not enjoying them, then why are you doing this? my question.
Right. I mean, if you know that when you go out to dinner, there's going to be a scene of some kind, an overreaction, a attention getting thing, why do it?
Absolutely. But you have to be, you know, as all of these situations with any approaching anything, you have to approach it carefully because, oh my gosh, you embarrass me. Every time I go out, I don't know I can do this anymore, is going to get you a very negative reaction. And so
right.
if this is a friendship you value, it's, you know, time to sit down and be, you know, talking. Like, I feel like I'm not supported with you when I can't share what's going on in my life because you're always paying attention to what's going on in your life, and sometimes they just need to feel heard.
I like that. I don't like it. I think it's interesting, this sentence. When I talk to her about things going on in my life, she speaks over me to tell me how she has it so much worse.
You know, and there are so many people that do that. They don't let you get a word in edgewise.
I know. Seriously. Really?
So my question is, what keeps this friendship going? And if he wanted to keep going, or maybe it's time it doesn't, but you need to have the conversation.
Okay, so answer this. So let's say that happens at dinner. She's with her friend, mm-hmm. and that happens, and she's talking over her, changing the subject. How would you tell this person to react?
Well, then you kind of have some information that she's not really open to hearing how you're feeling, and then you're going to have to make decisions from there. So maybe it's time to take a friend break.
Okay, what about in the given moment if you just get quiet and let her go on and on and on?
You could, but you know what? Sometimes people, they get so attention-seeking, they won't even pay attention.
They won't even realize that you never finished your story or never finished your thing.
No. But that would give you information. If you can't even approach, you know, a valued friendship with an issue,
wow,
then you may not have the friendship you think you do, and maybe it's just time for a break or, you know, to move on.
Boy, sorry for this person. This is hard.
You know what? But I see that a lot. There are a lot of people that, you know.
I do, too. I've seen this through the years.
The attention all on them. Everywhere they go, they got to, you know, be the highlight of the moment.
The loudest.
That's hard to be around people
like that.
The funniest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We hope that's helped you, whoever you are. Number 7, one of my coworkers is a complete bigot. He is always stereotyping and talking bad about other races, religions, lifestyles. He throws the N-word around like it is nothing, among other derogatory terms. I find this so inappropriate, and I am offended. I feel like I have to keep my personal life so private because I will be an object of his bigotry. I love my job, but I can't stand hearing all of this hate all day. How do I handle this situation? So this is going on at work.
Is this feeling like a concept that's just everywhere?
Whoa.
You know, you turn on social media and
people are
turn on the news.
Hateful.
It's a hard one, and I think we're
a lot of
sensitivity right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
It's always inappropriate for someone to be derogatory, though, like that at work. In a work environment, should be safe.
Right.
Being that it's a coworker, my first, I would not suggest confronting him directly if he's this way, because it may very well become a very bad situation.
Right.
So this may be one of those situations that you need to talk to your HR, that I'm feeling uncomfortable.
I was thinking HR, too.
Because if you're feeling uncomfortable, I'm sure other people are feeling uncomfortable, and, you know, that's not allowed in the workplace.
And aren't human resources, HR people in companies, aren't they trained to handle problems like this?
Absolutely, they are. Yeah. And what they'll do is, you know, you're feeling this way, so they're going to kind of observe and see what's happening.
They may even put a set of eyes right there in the workplace and hear it.
They will talk to other people who work around the workstation. Yes. What are you hearing? What are you experiencing? And so they can put a stop to it. Or, you know, intervene in that way. But you should always feel safe at work. And so if you're not, that's one that, you know, I would go ahead and bring into HR. Because their job is to protect you.
That is their job, is to protect you and to give a place where you feel not only safe, but just okay, that I can just be who I am right here. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a tough one, though.
It's a tough one because,
and the fear being the object.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that too. Whatever this person's, it doesn't say if this person's a male or female or whatever their situation is, but they're afraid that if they get vocal with this person, please don't do this, they'll be turned on them.
Yeah.
But that does happen.
Absolutely, it does. And it can make it even more uncomfortable.
Right.
If you're feeling this way, I am sure there's others. It's just, you know, sometimes we're timid and we don't approach it. We just try to deal with it.
Right.
We shouldn't have to deal with this.
No, absolutely not. All right, number 8, I have been diagnosed with breast cancer recently. I have had surgery and several rounds of chemo. It has been such a fight and a struggle for energy every day. The other day when I was, turn the page, riding in the car with my husband, I found a pack of cigarettes in his car. When I confronted him about smoking, he lied to me. This made me so angry. A couple days later, I saw him smoking while he was walking the dog. I feel so angry. Here I am fighting for my health, and he is ruining his by smoking. Just a few months ago, he was hospitalized because his asthma got so bad. Right now, I can't even talk to my husband because he lied to me, and he is destroying his health. It makes me question our whole relationship. How do we get through this?
Woo. Doozy. Wow. We got a lot of dynamics happening in the same moment.
We certainly do.
And I can totally understand where this can feel very overwhelming.
Especially if somebody has got such a bad diagnosis and then fighting for their health and their life.
Mm-hmm. And seeing someone else make choices that impact theirs and, you know, and where they're feeling more of a value. And, you know, and part of the problem is that first we have a lot of stress happening.
Right.
I mean, for the husband to have a wife with such a difficult diagnosis and watching her.
And it, we don't know. Maybe he just took up smoking now as a stress reliever.
Maybe it's a lot of stress. And, you know, instead of focusing on this bad habit and destroying his health, maybe we need to work together to how can we decrease the stress? You need some kind of way. You're obviously feeling stressed.
Right.
And we need to find maybe a healthier way, maybe that we can to compress this. Maybe we can go sit in counseling. I mean, this is a challenging, maybe this is time that we can just get you a friend that you can really talk about what you feel with me. Maybe his fears, he's going to lose his wife. Maybe we don't know.
Right. We don't know. And aren't there a lot of support groups out there in communities?
There are.
For people dealing with difficult situations.
Absolutely. And the person who's going through this situation, I get it. Life is precious and you're feeling that value of life. And I get that. And you want to know that your protector is going to be there with you. And so both, you know, have some valid stuff going on. And so it's not a you're right, you're wrong kind of thing. It's a how can we work through this kind of thing?
Again, you're saying communicate.
Absolutely.
We're don't push it under the rug. Don't act like this is not happening.
No.
Acknowledge, I saw you smoking. Now here's my concerns, and this bothers me, right?
And we're going to talk. Yeah, you must be really stressed.
Right.
So
give it the positive spin.
I'm stressed.
Right.
You know, you must be stressed watching all this and probably feeling it's a husband. You know, there's the protector. They're the ones that are supposed to keep everyone safe, and, you know, you can't protect from cancer. So, you know, there's a lot of helplessness on a male part for this, too. And so this is one of those times where we need to find outside interventions to help. If it's a church group, if it's a support group, if it's,
You
know, a counseling group, you know, but we need to manage that stress so then that you won't have your negative coping skill or feel the need for it.
Absolutely. Good advice, Dr. Angel. Wow, we've got two more, and I think we're going to make it because some of them were a little shorter, so. Or maybe our answers were shorter. I don't know.
These last two questions seem long, so go ahead.
Okay, number 9. I need help navigating mother-daughter relationships. Okay. I am currently planning my wedding, and my mother and I cannot even talk without fighting about every single detail. She's very opinionated about what colors I should have or what designs things should be. We can't even agree on a table seating arrangement or assignment. Every time we work on wedding plans, it always ends up in a yelling match and us fighting. This is my wedding. I want the colors and designs that my fiance and I like. My mother and father are paying for my wedding, and I'm very grateful for their support. But there are just some details that I like. They are my taste. The things I want will not impact costs at all. It is just my mother believes my wedding should be her way. I am beginning to hate wedding planning. This should be a time of joy, not all this chaos. How do we get through this and still like each other afterwards?
Ooh, we're throwing
that's a tough one.
Big one. A lot of dynamics in this one.
And a lot of us that have gone through weddings have been in situations maybe not exactly this intense, but where there's differences of opinion from a mother or a mother-in-law, prospective mother-in-law, et cetera.
Okay, so being a mother of a daughter.
Yes, I am.
I know. So we could use some insight.
Well, my daughter decided to run off and get married. And that's the truth. So I did not have this happen.
Okay.
My sons, I stayed out of that because it was my future daughter-in-law's mothers that were planning everything.
The mother-daughter problem.
Right, the mother-daughter problem. So I just escaped this.
Okay.
Okay, so I was blessed. But I feel for this young lady because I see her point. Why shouldn't she be able to have the colors, designs she wants? I mean,
I absolutely see that
why
point.
Not? I mean, what's the problem here with the mother? Why does the mother, because the mother wants to impress her own friends?
It could be just more of a deep-seated root. I'm losing my daughter and as an adult and a wedding is that big transition and she's trying to hang on.
Okay.
You know, I see that a lot of times. But mother-daughter relationships are absolutely the most difficult to navigate, period.
Why is that?
You know, they just are. You know, when you see all these great memes of these wonderful mother-daughter relationships, and the reality is it's a lot of, you know, hair pulling and love. You love and you don't like each other sometimes at the same time.
Right.
You know, and the love is there, and it seems like, you know, she has a lot of, you know, she wants to get along. She has a desire. You know, some kids would be like,
oh, yeah.
And forget that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. And it doesn't feel like she wants to be that way.
No, it sounds to me like she wants to make peace.
But she just
knows they're paying for it. She's grateful. But she wants it to be her style and her wedding. I don't fault her for that at all.
I absolutely do not. And, you know, and whew, good thing weddings don't last forever.
Right.
So there will be an end to this.
Yes.
And maybe there's just some ways we can make some compromises, you know, and maybe we can sit down and say, okay, you know, can we compromise here? I know this is what you really like, but, you know, this is my, you know, I've dreamed of this. Or maybe we sit down, not just mother, daughter, maybe we sit down fiance, mm-hmm. you know, and dad and mother and, mm-hmm. you know, as four of us, can we kind of talk
about
some of this?
Maybe just really expressing how much she appreciates their financial giving
Absolutely.
To her for this. And so she knows that she couldn't do all this without them. So,
right.
I mean, start that way. But really, she should have a right to have her opinion, doctor.
She should. And maybe she might want to incorporate things into her wedding that her and her fiance put some money for and make some extra things. Like maybe they want to have, you know, a gift giveaway that they give their gifts or, you know, their guests, or put special things on the tables that they can design or they can bring into the wedding for themselves.
Right. That's a good idea.
To kind of get some of their style and taste in there. But this may be like a conversation that we open up to, you know, if mom and dad are paying for a wedding, then maybe mom, dad, daughter, fiance, we can kind of sit and talk about this wedding.
And maybe dad can help. It depends on the parents,
of course.
Sometimes
men can buffer mom, daughter
stuff.
But
sometimes men can, because a lot of times they are so close to their daughters and they really want their little girl to be happy and whatever, and they can possibly bridge that gap there between the tension, you know?
They can, and so...
Your idea, having all four of them, mm-hmm. fiance, everybody there.
It may buffer that conflict a little bit. You know, mom's probably feeling like she's losing her daughter because she's getting married and knows that. You know, it's a big life transition for moms.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And she's trying to hang on and maybe hanging on totally wrong, but hanging on. And so this may be a conversation. Let's open up, or let's find creative ways to negotiate.
Right.
Or let's find just
negotiate
ways.
Negotiate my wedding.
Negotiate a little bit. I know. I know.
But you're right, because it does come down to negotiation, and it comes down to communication.
It does.
Doesn't it? Because otherwise hurt feelings are going to be built up so strongly that by the time this is over, it's not going to be pretty.
It's going to be pretty, and there'll be resentment. And here's the thing. Weddings are a big deal. Like, little girls dream about them from the time they're little girls. Like,
sure.
That's just kind of embedded in them. And so when you feel like you didn't have that voice in your wedding, it's something you'll hang on to for
a long time. The resentment will be there. If it's not dealt with, the resentment's going to be there.
It will be. So the event will be over, but the frustration and the feelings will still be there. So what happens when a baby comes, or, you know, things happen in life? And so, you know, the most important thing is the relationship and working on learning to communicate, because that's a skill that's going to go in lots of places with you guys.
It's so important. What about the girl saying, Mom, you know, we're having some differences of opinion. Can I just ask you, you know, what you're thinking, or why this thing, the color, is that important to you? Or, I mean, trying to open the dialogue.
And you never know. Maybe mom didn't have the wedding she wanted.
Oh, that's probably it.
And now it's like, this is my turn to plan a wedding. Maybe her mother took over planning the wedding, just what you do. And yeah, maybe to find a little history of where mom feels like, you know, this is so important for her to pick the creative differences here.
Right. This is very important because, as you said, this has far-reaching ramifications for the next
absolutely.
Few years, you know.
You know, people, it's like a snapshot of life. People remember their wedding day for a very, very long time, and you remember the feelings you had. And when you're walking in and you're seeing it
what you wanted.
It's a very disappointing day, mm-hmm. and it's a very hyped day. And those feelings definitely stay with people. I mean, I've heard people talk about their disappointments for 30 years after their wedding. So this is not something that just goes away.
So it's not going to go away. So try to navigate through it right now before you get to that point.
Absolutely. So bring the extra buffers in. Let's have a round table about it. Let's, you know, find ways to negotiate. Let's find out the history of why mom feels like this is so important mm-hmm. for her to have all the voice in. Mm-hmm. And maybe that'll get you somewhere.
Wow. very intense question.
It is. And our last question is more intense, and I don't think we're really going to have time for it.
Don't you?
All right, go ahead. Give it a whirl. We'll give it a start.
Oh, no. Well, I didn't realize what time it was.
I don't think we're going to have time
for it. You want to save this?
We will save it, and we will add it to the next one.
Let's add it to the next one, because we want to get, it is very long. I didn't see that.
And it's quite intense.
I never got to the point of reading it earlier. So that's good. Let's just sum up then with these questions and answers today. As always, these are real questions from real people. And the whole idea of this show and the advice that especially you give has to do with communication is what I'm hearing today. Do you want to talk about that more?
Feels like it's probably if we went back and listened to all of our question and answer shows, communication would probably be our core theme.
It could be. I don't know.
It feels like that. And it really does. And I think we get in a conflict when we're not sure if we should communicate, how we should communicate. Because it feels scary because you don't know what the response is going to be.
But so many people, when they are confronted like this with something like these things we've been talking about today that are real life issues, they clam up and don't talk.
They don't.
They just go the other way. They stuff their feelings, and that only causes problems.
It causes more problems, and then things bury up, and then we have lots of resentment or frustration. And, you know, sometimes we avoid it to try and save us pain in the moment. We cause long-term pain.
It does. Yes.
And so anytime we need to communicate, we want to make sure we've dealt with the emotions before we walk into that.
Yeah, and can actually sit there without breaking down and crying and whatever.
That we can sit and have a
fit.
We don't want to raise tempers. We don't want to come in and accusatory. We want to have a conversation.
A conversation.
And so what we're trying to do really is just open that door so that we can have a conversation.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the art of communication takes time and practice. So if you have to call your BFF and, you know, blow out all the emotions about what you're upset about, let it go.
And that's okay.
It is okay.
Yeah.
Or if you need to take a couple of days to, like, kind of decompress, that's okay. You don't have to talk about it the moment you need to talk. Sometimes
the timing is the most important part of communication, don't you think?
I agree.
I like that thing when you said that boss, don't catch him when he's running out the door.
No, this is a conversation, and you know, that's really important. If we're going to have an important conversation, we need to plan for this important conversation. We can't catch it on the fly while, you know, I'm changing diapers and cooking dinner, and now you want to talk about this? Like, let's sit down when we can focus just on our conversation.
Absolutely. Great advice for married couples, partners, whatever, and great advice when we're talking about these kinds of serious situations. This has been a great show. We hope you've enjoyed the Q&A. You can hear it again this Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, and always right here on the podcast after the show. It'll be up, TantalkNetwork.com. Go to podcasts, go to Go Yard, and you can hear it. Tell people about it. And we'll see you next week. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac. Go Yard. See ya.
Good night.
Oh, Lord have mercy on this weary soul. Come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life. Take two. On this weary soul, I got a new lease on life. They say you only live once, but I live twice. I got a new lease on life. I got a new lease on life. Yeah.